plumbing, heating, and air conditioning. M&S takes care of residential and commercial customers, and they provide prompt quality service to Manhattan and the surrounding area.
Because I know it's important to you, Brady, Zach from Saved by the Bell is 44 today.
Oh, happy birthday to Zach. Grab your giant
whatever his name is, Mark Paul
Gosselaar, I think.
Yeah, that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
I knew that would be important to you, so.
Oh, one of my earliest influences in life was Zach Morris.
Which explains a lot.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Brady Bowman here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN, here with Blue Valley Randolph Superintendent Brady Burton and Riley County School District USC 378 Superintendent Cliff Williams. And I guess there's just no real easy way to go into this subject, talking about the school safety that's very much in the national conversation right now when we're talking about schools. But I'm really interested in both your perspectives with rural schools and school safety. We always think about school safety and especially some of these school shootings that have happened. They've happened in some of these larger schools, and it seems like the conversation is really focused on these larger schools, but I'm really interested in the rural schools perspective when it comes to school safety. Brady, I think before we came on, you were mentioning that you did want to kind of address some of these issues.
Well, I think I don't know how we can't address any of these issues in this day and age with what's happening around the country, and it has happened for the last 10, 20 years. You know, as we look at these things, I think we have to keep in mind that in most of these school shootings, the shooter is either a current student or a past student. And I think so many districts are caught up with the actual act itself and what's going to be done if there is an active shooter and how you handle it. And there's a lot being done with physical school safety, like locks on your doors and windows and inside doors. And don't get me wrong, I think that's important. But to me, the greater issue is addressing the needs of your students that you have while you have them, and trying to do more with addressing those needs, not only with the student, but it also might go deeper into the families. And I know we're right now in our district. Last month we talked about it. We're going to talk about it again with some of the added funding from the state. I'm advocating to our board that we hire a part-time or full-time social worker to help with some of those needs, along with our counselor. And to me, that's the most vital thing, is to a lot of these issues we're finding out are due to depression from kids, mental health issues, and so on. And I think if we can try to be more proactive with our students and try to meet those needs in a better way, maybe we can help prevent some of these shootings down the road.
And another thing about this, and Cliff, I'll have you answer this one real quick. We've been seeing a lot of arrests at the Junction City Fort Riley area. I think yesterday was the third arrest of a student for criminal threat or making a threat and those sort of things. Is that something that could become a tricky thing for school districts to handle? Because as far as the reason you would detain a kid, and remember, these are just kids, the reason you would detain one, I'm sure that it can get really subjective and gray pretty easily on, like, how do you decide if that's decide on the threat, if that's enough to send a kid to juvenile detention or not?
Well, it definitely is a sticky wicket there.
Right.
And us, like Brady, we've had numerous discussions. We visit with, you know, our attorneys as well, when the legal world starts moving into our schools. And, you know, we're really not in that capacity. We're fortunate that we have the ability from Riley County Police Department that we get to share a school resource officer, and that is a tremendous support. And I would wholeheartedly applaud all those that are making those decisions and hope that they would continue to do that. I would agree with Brady that it's all about relationships, and I think that's the big advantage we have at smaller schools, is that we really do know these kids. We know their families, we know their relatives, and we build off of that. We are seeing more and more in our schools the kids that have social-emotional needs, and we are having to do some retraining. I'm taking a team here in a couple weeks to another training to talk about that, because it is a different mindset and how you cope with that and give kids strategies and alternatives, you know, if they feel like they're backed into a corner. And again, you know, you can put a lot of different things on buildings and those types of things and could feel pretty good about that. But again, I still think it comes back to the relationships, and that's the strength of the small school environment. And we're going to have to continue to evolve and look at, we've had the discussion of more social workers. Do you look at more counselors, you know, that have that skill set that can work with kids in those needs?
And, of course, the other issue to all that, of course, is funding, right? We're talking about school funding just for things as they are now. If things just stay the same, there's still a debate, like, do we fund it as it is now? If you had even more security measures and those things, if people want it, and it seems to be there's support for that, but people will have to show their support with funding, too, and show support with their taxes as well.
Well, that was definitely part of our conversation, is do you look at the way it is now, do our class sizes increase because you need that specialist to come into your building to work with these kids? Can we work with local resources, you know, maybe partnership with mental health, and mental health can come in and have space in our buildings so kids don't have to spend the windshield time of driving to wherever, coming back, besides having their session, that they might miss 3 to 4 hours of school. So we're trying to get out of the box and be creative, and I know Brady's in the same boat with all other schools. But you're right. We're going to need some resources to help these kids and help them get back on track and figure things out, because it's tough for them.
And just real quick, right before we let you go and go to our last break, but just real quick, is there any support from your teachers or in your districts about the idea of arming teachers?
We really haven't got into that discussion right now. To be honest, it's pretty scary. I mean, we're in the business of helping kids, and to think that we're going to have that. And I know many parents want to know, what are we doing to protect those kids? And what is our crisis plan like? Will it help if we have to have those scenarios? So I don't really have a hardcore answer for you on that, but we've had some discussions about it.
Brady?
We really haven't talked lately about concealed carry or arming teachers or that type of thing. I know here a few years ago we had that conversation a little bit, even checked in with our local insurance company at that time to see if we did have some staff members who went through, you know, custodian, myself, whoever, concealed carry, if an insurance company would cover, and they would not at that point cover anybody that was, you know, concealed carrying at school if something would happen and mistakenly shoot somebody that shouldn't have been, and so on. I mean, there's a lot of issues involved.
And that's something people don't think about, is that if you're going to do that, is our insurance companies going to cover
the liability
of
it if they happen to shoot the wrong person,
right?
or a bullet ricochets and hits a student. And, I mean, the issues are just – it's pretty complicated, Brady.
I'm just kind of, I know you don't really want to say for sure, but I'm just kind of getting the feeling that you're hoping that there's other avenues that'll be looked at first before you have to get
I would
that
hope
decision.
So, yes.
Right,
it bothers me that we allow concealed carry on K-State on the campuses and so on, that we've gone that far. So anyway, yes, I would hope we wouldn't have to do that.
Right, we can go on and on about that subject. You know, maybe at some point, maybe I can get to a lot of school superintendents here, maybe representative from North County, Manhattan. Maybe we can go into that and I'll workshop that idea, kick that around a little bit. But
okay.
Thanks for coming on.
You bet. Thank
as
you.
Always,
thank
the you. Brady and Brady Show with Cliff.
Yeah.
Once a month here on K-Man. More In Focus coming up. We'll talk the home show. Flint Hills Area Builder Association Executive Officer Brad Hartenstein coming up after the break.
The KMAN Morning News is brought to you by